Good morning. I greet you this wonderful morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am Pastor Clarence William Page of the Trinity Baptist Church, Greensboro, High Point, Guilford County, North Carolina, and the world, and wherever man is found. And those places are the localities around me. I'm in High Point, North Carolina. And of course, this ministry is also the Light to Guide Our Feet ministry that you hear around the world. And wherever you are, I greet you today, thanking the Lord for you and thanking the Lord for allowing me to be here in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I call your attention to the New Testament book of Acts, A-C-T-S. The New Testament book of Acts, A-C-T-S. And in Acts, I call your attention to chapter 12. A-C-T-S, Acts, chapter 12. In the New Testament. In Acts chapter 12, the reading begins at verse 1. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaterions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Again, verse 4 of Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, verse 4. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Once again, Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. Once again, Acts chapter 12, verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Verse 9 once again. Acts chapter 12, verse 9. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she saw Peter, and verse 14 now, Acts chapter 12, verse 14. Acts chapter 12, verse 14. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Father God, help the listeners in this worship service. Help every listener to catch a glimpse of glory. Help every listener, whether they listen at the original offering of this worship service, or at some other time, regardless of the year, the date, the time, the century, oh, Father God, help them to catch a glimpse of thy glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I call your attention now back to Acts chapter 12, verse 11. Acts chapter 12, verse 11. Acts chapter 12, verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews. Acts chapter 12, verse 11. My friends, for a short while, let's commune together in worship using the topic, Acts is a book of action. Acts is a book of action. A-C-T-S is a book of A-C-T-I-O-N. My first question to you, my friend, is, have you ever read the Holy Bible? Have you ever read the Holy Bible in its entirety? And if you haven't read the Holy Bible in totality, have you ever read the New Testament of the Holy Bible in its entirety? And if you haven't read the New Testament of the Holy Bible in its entirety, have you read the book of Matthew in the New Testament in its entirety. If you have not read the book of Matthew in the Holy Bible in its entirety, have you read the book of Mark in the Holy Bible in its entirety? If you have not read the book of Mark in the Holy Bible in its entirety, have you read the book of Luke in the Holy Bible in its entirety? If you have not read the book of Luke in the Holy Bible in its entirety, have you read the book of John in the Holy Bible in its entirety? If you have not read the book of John in the Holy Bible in its entirety, have you read the book of Acts, A-C-T-S, in the Holy Bible in its entirety? Some of you have. Then there are those of you who perhaps have never read any of the books of the Bible in their entirety. There are some of you like that. And many of you are well educated, well degreed, with many degrees, with many what you call terminal degrees. PhD, 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 and many other degrees that you consider terminal. You consider yourself highly educated. But have you ever read the Holy Bible or any book in the Holy Bible in its entirety? Maybe you've read some of the epistles. Some of them are rather short. Maybe you've read them, or perhaps you've read the book of Jude. Maybe you've read the book of Jude, and I'm not here to criticize you, but I want to bring you to a realization of what you are missing. Many of you, when you talk to your friends, you tell them how many books you read this week or this month or this year, or during the last decade. You have a whole litany, a whole long list of books, but is the Holy Bible among them of all the books you've ever read in all of your life? Is the Holy Bible among them? And particularly, have you read books about Christianity? Some of you have not. And you know why? Because the devil in Hades, hell, the devil himself, does not want you to read the Holy Bible. He does not. I thank God I grew up in the country in North Carolina in a very small town and small county. And the reason the county was so small is because the U.S. military had taken a major part of our county. And I think out of the 100 counties in North Carolina, it is either number 99 or 100 in size, I was told. I'm not sure if that's true, but I think that's the case because the military had taken up so much of that county. But back then, back in the 1950s and 1960s, they used to have what was called a bookmobile. These were vans that the library had stocked with books. And we were in the rural area. I grew up on a farm, and we were sharecroppers. But they would send the bookmobile around to the homes. And I was an avid reader, and so I was always delighted to go out and walk into that, climb the steps into that bookmobile and look at the books they had there on the shelves and get me a book. And that was my joy. But they also had a library downtown. And from time to time, I would stop in at the library. I don't know how old I was when I came up on this book. And I don't know what I was looking for. I may have been looking for a book on the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I don't know. But the book that I was given or found was a book that had the name Martin Luther. And I didn't know the difference between Martin Luther and Martin Luther King, so I read the book on Martin Luther. Maybe it was God who had me get that book. But I was astounded at the life of Martin Luther, how he nailed the 95 theses on the church door at Wittenberg in Germany. And that intrigued me. I've never forgotten that. I may have been 14. I may have been 15. Could have been a little younger. But I'm thinking I was about 14 years old. And I was intrigued by the life of Martin Luther. But if you have read about Martin Luther and you thought that was something, you need to read the Holy Bible. You need to read the Holy Bible. And by the way, Martin Luther was a translator of the Bible because he was fleeing from people who wanted to kill him. As a matter of fact, history reports that these are church people who had put out this word that anybody seeing Martin Luther could kill him. So he was hiding away in a castle, an old castle, when he was a rather educated man at that time, and he translated the Bible. He translated it into a language that the common people could read. God has a way. If you've never read the Holy Bible, Martin Luther is not in the Holy Bible. He, in terms of his account, is not in the Holy Bible that I'm talking about, but he was a man who became well learned. He also had experiences with God. I heard that, I have read that his father wanted him to go to law school, wanted him to be a lawyer. One day he was traveling and a great storm came up and lightning and so forth. And you know how storms can come up and lightning. I was traveling a few months ago at night, probably 3 months ago. And I normally, the road I traveled, I was a two-hour drive, and the place is prone to thunderstorms. And so sometimes I would drive the superhighway around the city, but I found out that some of the superhighways around the city did not have clear markings, the white lines that are the white lines that are in the center of the road that you can go by when you can't see ahead of you. I travel a lot, and when it rains, I find that those white stripes in the road, when you can't see what's ahead of you or behind you, if you can just follow those white stripes, and then some roads have a solid white stripe on the outer edge. And so I've been, even last year, many places I went, I had to follow it, but rained so difficultly and rained so hard, I could only make progress by following the white stripes in the road. And sometimes it would be so bad, there would be cars stopped along the road because they couldn't see. And sometimes I do travel at night just to make sure that I keep honing and perfecting my night driving abilities. If we don't do things, then sometimes we lose those abilities. So I don't mind traveling at night, though I don't always plan to travel at night. But this one particular night last year, I was traveling, and the storm was very ferocious. It was going to be very ferocious. It hadn't gotten that ferocious. And so when I approached the city, I said, well, I'm not going to go around on the superhighway, because I noticed that some of those stripes are not very clear. And and it looks like it's going to storm, so I better go through the city. If I go through the city, that will impede my progress some, but I can go slower. And normally the city stripes or the city roads are better marked right downtown. And so I went through the city, and when I got through the city, I had to call a friend of mine that I had promised to send something to. So I stopped at a service station and took out my cellular phone to call a friend. I had promised to call him and send him some, give him some information. Now, I was sitting there, I began to look ahead. As I looked ahead, the storm was ferocious. The lightning looked like it was standing up on the ground and looked like it was reaching from the ground to the sky. Lightning after lightning after lightning. I sat there and looked at that, and I knew I was traveling toward danger. I mean, lightning bolts such as I don't think I have ever seen lightning like that before. And I said, well, Lord, I prayed. I asked God, help me, Lord, get through this. My goodness. So I started my car out and headed into danger. And I was saying to myself, I am heading into danger. I am heading into danger. It was a ferocious storm with the lightning bolts. Looked like they were standing on the ground and reaching from ground to the sky. And but I started on out, and God himself brought me through. Well, Martin Luther was traveling one day, and a ferocious storm came up. And his father had wanted him to go to law school. But the storm was so ferocious that Martin Luther said, God, if you will get me through this, if you will save my life, I will become a minister, a monk, I think he said it was. And God got him through, and Martin Luther followed through. He became a monk. He became a great Christian leader. He became a reformer. And those of us who are Protestants owe him a great debt of gratitude. Martin Luther. But God brought me to that book in that library as a young man. I don't know if you've ever read about Martin Luther or the German theologian and reformer. His amazing life that he had. And some people don't like him for various reasons, but God brought me to that book. But have you ever read books about the people of God? Have you ever read the Fox Book of Martyrs? The Fox's Book of Martyrs. There are so many Christian martyrs, people who gave their lives for Christianity. Have you ever read those books? And you know, the enemy doesn't want you to read those books. The Book of Acts is a book of action, but not only the Book of Acts. The entire Bible is so intriguing, so absolutely mesmerizing. It is no wonder it is called the greatest book ever written. It absolutely is. Not only is it the greatest book ever written, it's the book written by the hand and finger of God through his holy men, the prophets. That's what the Holy Bible is. Many of you have never read it because the enemy doesn't want you to read it. And many of you go to movies, you can't write a better movie than the Holy Bible. Impossible. You cannot write a better fictitious movie than the true Holy Bible. It cannot be done. I stand behind that. It is an amazing book. Here in the book of Acts chapter 12, we read, now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. And a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision when they were past the first and the second ward. They came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street. And forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname is Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. Acts is a book of action. It is a book filled of action, filled with action. Here Peter has been apprehended by Herod. Herod plans to kill him. And the night before the day that Herod was going to bring him forth to kill him, apparently, God sends his angel. People say, you can't make this up. You cannot make this up because this is true. You don't have to make this up. All you have to do is believe it. This is true. There is no greater book than the book of the Holy Bible, and the devil in hell does not want you to read it. He does everything. He pushes books. He pushes all kinds of books to keep you from reading the Word of God. And now you have technology. You can just listen. You can put a little bud in your ear. In one ear, I wouldn't recommend closing both ears because you need to hear. You can put a little listening bud in your ear. Some of them are wireless. Some of them have wires. I don't know which ones are safe and which aren't. I normally use the one that have wires, thinking that they are more safe. Anyway, you can. The Bible is on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer, on your technology. There are many sites where you can just go in and download what we call the app, the application. You can download the application and listen all day. You can listen while you're driving. You can listen to the Bible. If you think you're too busy to read it, I recommend the King James Version. I use the King James Version in almost all of my public ministry. I know many of your churches don't, but I recommend the King James Version, and you can get, it is written much of it in, I think it's called Elizabethan English, but you can get the Oxford Dictionary. There are dictionaries that will explain exactly what those words mean. And I know there are other translations. I'm not going to speak about them. I have some concern about some of them. That's why I use the King James Version. Just to give you one, some of them apparently, when they talk about Mary, the virgin who became the mother of Jesus Christ, some of them will call her a young maiden and will not refer to her as a virgin, because I don't know why, but the King James clearly tells us that Mary was a virgin, and there is a difference in a young maiden becoming pregnant and in a virgin becoming pregnant. She became pregnant as a virgin, and we were told that by a man who was a physician, Luke, the beloved physician. A physician said, a medical physician, a medical doctor said, a virgin was with child. A virgin became pregnant, as it were, by God. A medical doctor told us that in Luke chapter 1 and 2. Luke chapter 1. He talks about angels. The Bible, the Holy Bible is amazing. And the reason you haven't read it more than likely is because the enemy has hindered you, but that doesn't deliver you from the obligation to get the Word of God. You have to press your way and get the Word of God, or just go on your phone and download it on your computer, or listen to it listen to it. Those of you who don't have phones, you can. Some of you have CDs and other kinds of technology at home. Maybe you're an older person and you may not have a phone, but you have the old type technology. They have the Bible on all of those venues. There's a man named Alexander Scorby. That's very famous, a very famous reader of the Bible. You can get his CDs, you can get his DVDs and put them on your older machines. You can get his tapes, his cassette tapes, and put them on your older machines. There is no excuse for not reading the Bible. And the easiest way is to get a Bible and read it. Get a Bible and read it. And it is in most languages. Most languages. So whatever country you're in, the Bible has been translated more than likely into your language. And so this action book that many of you have never read, and here just in this Acts chapter 12, you see, we fly around in vehicles made with things that we find here on earth. People in the Bible has flown forever. That seems to be the major mode of transportation from day one. Angels fly. We think we are so sophisticated because we can get some metal and some other kinds of materials and put some thrust behind them and throw them through the air. And we think we're doing something. They've been flying in heaven from day one. And then we think we are so great because we have electricity and you get ready to walk into the supermarket and they have it so they want you to come in real easy and spend your money, so they have these automatic doors, and when you approach the door opens, and it's generally it's done because we have them electronically wired and have some kinds of other mechanisms that some seeing eye that we used to call it 40 years ago, or something that that detects you are coming in. And the door opens. Well, right here, this is 2,000 years ago. Look here in verse 10. In Acts chapter 12, verse 10. 2,000 years ago, look what this door did. Acts chapter 12, verse 10. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. You hear what I said? You walk in, every time you walk into a supermarket, you ought to remember this. You ought to remember, oh, well, you know, 2,000 years ago, there was an iron gate of a prison. And when Peter and the angel of God approached, that iron gate opened of its own accord, just like these doors here in the supermarket or these other stores. They open of their own accord, particularly the supermarket doors. There's something about many supermarkets, these big conglomerates at the supermarkets, the doors are going to open as if to say, come on in and spend your money. I mean, when you get ready to go out, they'll open and let you out. Well, we think we're doing something. Oh, we are martyred. 2,000 years ago, an iron gate that led unto the city opened of its own accord. I'm not going to say just like these here, but it opened by itself. So when people tell you, oh, the church, those old church people, and they believe in that stuff, and the devil doesn't want you to know this. Even it surprised Peter. Peter thought he was dreaming. The very people of God who knew God, who had seen God do miracles. Peter thought he was dreaming. God's work and his abilities are past finding out. You have no idea what God can do. We have no idea. There is no secret what God can do, somebody said, meaning that I assume it means that he can do many things, but he can do more than I can think, imagine. He can do more than I can ask him to do. God can do so many things. And you find that out in the Bible. That's why the devil in hell does not want you to come to the Bible. But it's not only this scripture here, the whole book of Acts. When you read the whole book of Acts, it is one of the most dramatic books in the Bible. This is about Peter. You need to read about Paul. Paul did things that some of you would say, well, that's illogical. He did things and took chances that it looked like that doesn't make sense. Even some of the saints told him, well, the Holy Spirit told us that if you go such and such is going to happen. And Paul went anyway. Someone said, well, that's tempting God. God tried to warn him. But then even when he went to those places, after the Christians told him that if you go, there's danger there, and they're going to do this or that to you, even when he got into trouble, and sometimes God doesn't deliver us from the experience, but he lets us go into the experience, and he will deliver us from the experience. Sometimes God doesn't prohibit us from the danger, but in the danger, he will deliver us from it. And time and time and time again, God could have kept Peter out of Herod's prison, but he let Herod put Peter in prison and let Peter stay there until the day before Herod planned to call him and kill him. That's how God operates. You can't make this stuff up, and you can't write a better fictitious book or movie than the Holy Bible. And that's why you ought to read the Holy Bible time and time again. And those of us who are Christians, a lot of times we do things that our people wonder, well, I wonder what's wrong with him. I've been there. I wonder why he did that. I wonder, because God is leading us. Wives, if you are not a preacher, your preacher husband will do things and you wonder. You see, a lot of you young ladies, you get married, you just want to have a nice, middle class, peaceful, prosperous home. You want to bear some children and raise the children up for the Lord. And you have this husband who seems, number one, like he doesn't want any material stuff much, doesn't care too much about money, and doesn't really care how much, what level of economical status you all have. And you're wondering, and you're working hard. You work hard. You work hard at home. You go out and you work hard. And your husband doesn't seem to really understand that if you work harder and save more and buy more, you will have a higher standard of living and your children will be happier. But your preacher husband doesn't seem to understand that. Why? Let me tell you why. Because a true preacher understands that the mission is more important than the missionary. The true preacher understands that the message is more important than the messenger. That's why we let people abuse us sometimes. That's why we let people say things to us and we don't say anything back. Do you know why? Because we're thinking of the mission. We're thinking of the ministry. The mission is more important than the missionary. The ministry is more important than the minister. The mission is more important than the missionary. The message is more important than the messenger. We recognize that the devil in hell is trying to trip us up. We know they're disrespecting us. We know they're mistreating us. We know that. It is not that we don't know that. And some of you wives wonder, well, I wonder why he didn't do anything. I remember a man who was, I don't know if he was a minister or not, but I worked with his wife and the government was on him for, and he didn't do anything wrong. They just didn't like him. And they wrote, the major paper in that city wrote a real bad article on him, and I was talking to her, and she said, he's not going to say anything. He isn't going to say anything. And I understand. We don't respond to everything. We let them say, we ain't this, and we ain't that. We didn't do this, and we didn't do that. We trust God. And in the book of Acts, particularly, in the book of Acts, some is called the Acts of the Apostles. There have been ministers who've said it's really the Acts of the Holy Ghost. They say it's the Acts of the Holy Ghost, but the Bible had them call it the Acts of the Apostle. Of course, I guess we could say the entire Bible is contains the Acts of God. The book of Acts is in most Bibles called the Acts of the Apostles. And let me look at the Bible that I'm reading right now and see how it is titled. It says, the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Apostles. But we see the Holy Ghost, we see the power of God, we see heaven throughout it. And It's just amazing. The book of Acts is the book of action. Time and time and time again, God allows his people to get into the situation. And he delivers them out of the situation. Even with the Apostle Paul, men who were men of God came and said, the Spirit said that if you do such and such, you're going to, they're going to do this and that to you. If you go there, it's not going to be good. Paul said, on one occasion, he was willing to die for Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, when good Christians, people that he respected and who loved him, said, please don't go there. On one occasion, they pleaded with him, and they pleaded with him, and they pleaded with him, and he wouldn't change his mind. And so the Christians ends up saying, the will of the Lord be done. The Lord's will be done. The will of the Lord be done. They loved him. They didn't want that to happen to him, and it happened to him. And by the grace of God, he escaped them. He escaped them until God got ready for him to come home. When he had fought a good fight, when he had finished his course, through all he went through, he fought a good fight. He finished his course. The book of Acts, if you haven't read the book of Acts, my friends, but you should read the entire Bible, but with specificity and particularity, come read the book of Acts first. You will see things that will astound you. As you see here, Peter, he thought he was dreaming. God does things that are so magnificent and amazing that even we, his people, his children, his preachers, think we are dreaming. But they're true. The book of Acts is the book of action. Acts, the book of actions. Acts is a book of actions. Acts is a book of action. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you. I bless your name. I praise your name. And I shout hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your entire Bible. Thank you for bringing me to your word. Thank you, Father, for the magnificence, the absolute magnificence of the Holy Bible. And Father God, I pray that these who listen to this worship service at whatever time will be spurred on to take action and to read, listen, experience by listening or reading your holy word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. My friends, after having heard the word of God, after having read the word of God, however the word of God comes to you, after having taken faith in Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, after having done all of that, and you know you're saved, contact a Christian minister and our ministry. Request and receive Christian baptism. The God that we serve, Almighty God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, will send people to help you. Hallelujah. Let us look unto the Lord and be dismissed. And now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.